love. So many types of love. Well, today we're celebrating Mother's Day. And the first thought that crossed my mind when I read this was, it's very old-fashioned now, isn't it, Mother's Day? I mean, for us oldies, it might not be, but then things were different in our day. when we consider society today, a mother's role has changed immensely, hasn't it? Influenced by many factors. Differing attitudes to marriage, partnership, parenthood, more mothers working, paying for childcare, fathers sharing all aspects, sometimes, of parenthood. And then there's surrogacy and adoption and IVF, issues with sexuality, and on and on. Society has got itself into a right mess, hasn't it? And Mother's Day, as Marcus said, isn't a celebration for everybody. Some have been gifted with children and some not. Some may have very negative memories of their own parents, may still be affected by trauma in their childhood of one type or another. But thank God that many, many more have known what it has been to be loved, accepted, supported, yes, sometimes disciplined, throughout their childhood and through the difficult teenage years. Remember those? Remember having teenage children? Oh my gosh. But they've grown up to be fine adults because they've been steered properly. So parenthood is a very important thing. And though it's Mother's Day, I kind of see it as Parents' Day. And hands up anyone who's found parenting easy. Not a hand. So as ever, what a relief it is to have the ultimate truth of God's word to depend on, to teach us the ways to live that are for our health and our happiness, and also to know that he, our ultimate parent, is always ready to guide us as parents, to teach our children. And the most important thing that we can ever teach our children is about his love for us. Different thoughts are coming to me. Our Father's always ready to help us when we struggle, to forgive us when we mess up. And then, yes, the big one, to show us how to receive his love so that we can pass it on to our children, wanting the very best for them. That's what we want, isn't it? There's nothing better than for them to know God's love. And the way to receive all that is simply to come to him and ask for it. Maybe when we meet that one that we want to spend our life with, we think that that is the very best love of all. And when a woman has a child, she believes that there is no love greater than the love she feels for her baby. It's overwhelming. It's painful. It couldn't be any bigger. But still we are mistaken, because we, after all, are only human, broken human beings. And I don't know of a single mother who hasn't looked back to see regrets or guilt. But that isn't what God wants for us. He wants us to know what his love is like, because it is so much greater than anything we can know or imagine. And the best news of all is that it's there for the taking. It's there for the asking. In Proverbs 22, God says, if only we would listen, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. In Jesus' time in the first century, children weren't highly regarded, were they? They were a bit of a nuisance, really. But Jesus, well, he loved children. Didn't he love them? One time when he was teaching and healing in the temple, the children were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. How did they know that? And the high priests and the teachers of the law were saying, shut them up, for goodness sake, get them out of the way. But clearly they had recognised Jesus because they had learned from their parents, at their parents' knee, about the coming Messiah. So why would these educated scribes, who should have known better, what were they talking about? Anyway, Jesus' reply was to quote from Psalm 8, which they should have known, from the lips of children and infants, you, God, have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Praise from little children is enough to silence the evil one. We need to teach our children that. But Jesus knew the scriptures, and so did those children. Again, Matthew 19, verse 13, when Jesus' own disciples told the parents off for bringing their children to him, what did he say? Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. Jesus was showing everybody and us that little children are an example of how humble and innocent we need to be to accept and receive his teaching, and then to learn to live by it. Our text today is a short one, but what we need to take from it is that the underlying word is love, love, love. Very often, those who haven't received the love that they deserve during their life find it hard to give it. But once they receive the love of God through knowing Jesus, that love will flow through them to others. It is surely a part of our ministry as Christians to recognise this and to pray for such people and to show them with acts of kindness, with love, a little bit of what God's love is like. So the context here is that the Apostle Paul was under house arrest, imprisoned under Roman rule. What for? For preaching the truth of Jesus. And he knew that he was facing certain execution. Together with one of his apprentices, Timothy, Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, one of the many that they'd founded. And this one, if you remember, was aided strongly by women of prayer. Remember Lydia, the prayer, who offered her house for the Philippian church to meet in and financially supported Paul as he went on his way. He loved the people there, and he wanted to encourage them to keep standing strong for Jesus, fueled by what? By the love of God that they had found. Now, as far as anybody seems to know, Paul had no children of his own. But he wasn't really childless, not in the way of the gospel. He saw his fellow workers, especially the young ones like Timothy, as his children. He even called Timothy my son in Christ, didn't he? And together with others, they travelled for miles and miles, preaching the gospel of Jesus, establishing new fellowships with people who had come through their teaching, and worshipping with them together. Paul considered them his brothers and his sisters, just as we in our fellowship, we in the Church of Christ, are brothers and sisters. On one occasion when Jesus was preaching and teaching and healing and surrounded by masses of people, he was told that his mother and his brothers were outside looking for him. They weren't believers then. Do you remember what he said? Who's my mother? Who's my brothers? Here with me are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. For whoever does the will of my Father, said Jesus, is my brother and sister and mother. In verse 9, Paul says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. He was saying here that he loved his people, and he also loved everyone that he met, teaching them with a passion about Jesus. Nobody could have stopped him. He wanted to impart this love of God to all that he met because he knew it is the best love of all. It is the foundation of love. He encouraged them to keep going against all odds because the Church of Jesus will grow and grow. It still is. That their reward in heaven would be great. And better even than that, that their Father God would be glorified by the work they did in Jesus' name. What an inheritance. So today, Paul the Apostle is our example of how to receive the love of God and pass that love on to others. His passion, excuse me, that was that everyone should hear the news of what Jesus had done for us all. And he didn't care if he died trying, because he knew for sure that that wouldn't be the end of him, because his ministry would continue through others for him, and that even his death wouldn't be an end for him, but a new beginning. And that's the truth for us all. You might say, well, how can we compare ourselves with Paul, the great ambassador for Jesus? Yeah, we can, because he was no better or worse than any of us. He had called himself, in Timothy 1, the worst of sinners, because once he'd been opposed to Jesus. He used to actually search out followers of Jesus to drag them off to jail or to have them put to death. But then, one wonderful day, he met Jesus face to face. And he learned, as we have learned, that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, who became God in human flesh to meet with him and you and me. And his love won't let us go if we commit to him. This is really academic now. I hope you're going to be impressed. Our Bible speaks of four different types of love. They are eros, that's the passionate love that is often romantic and based on physical attraction. There's storge, and that's familial love that exists between family members and relatives. Then there's philia, the love between friends that involves companionship, loyalty, fellowship. And then agape love. And this is unconditional love that seeks the best for others without expecting anything in return. So what sort of love are we talking about in this passage? Yes, it's the last one. It's agape. It describes love like God's, if we can describe it. It is that undeserved and unconditional love which is about giving oneself totally to another. Putting another person first, so it's always a sacrifice. It's the love that our Father expressed in allowing his only Son to die for every person that he made. And it's risky, because it might be rejected. In house group this week, we were reading from Matthew 26, where Jesus was in an agony of prayer in Gethsemane, remember? And he asked his Father, can this cup be taken from me? Is there another way? Receiving no answer, he said, yet not as I will, but as you will. Yet later, when he was being arrested and one of his disciples attacked a soldier with his sword, Jesus said to him, stop. And he healed the wound that he had inflicted and scolded his disciples, saying, do you think that I could not call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scripture be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? How could he have done that? So knowing that he could do that, Jesus still went purposefully to his death for all of us. That's what love's like. That's what God's love is. And we are asked to love in that manner too. To love when we don't like. To love when we don't want to. Because it's not our human love we're giving, it's the love of God. Because it's impossible for us to sacrifice our self-centeredness for the sake of something much better. Unless, that is, we will receive the love that our Father offers us. Once Jesus was asked by a scribe who was trying to test him, which are the greatest commandments? You can imagine them, can't you? Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and then to love your neighbour as yourself. Can you see? We give ourselves completely to him, and he allows us to use his love for all the people that he wants to come to know Jesus. That's often a sacrifice, nothing compared with the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And why is it hard for us? Because we all suffer from one thing, and that's pride. What we know, what we want, what we have, what we can do, our own opinions, our own ideas. That's why the world's in a mess. But when we dare to give all that we are to God, the result is that we lose nothing that is good and we receive much more than we could possibly imagine. We receive God's goodness. And if we want to pass on to our children the most precious thing of all, it will be that we brought them up to know the love of God. I don't know if I've told you this daft joke before, but I heard it. It was about a woman who was married to a very, very, very wealthy man. He was a bit of a misery, you know. what do you gain if you lose your soul? Remember, if you have everything but lose your soul. And he let her keep the house. He was dying. But he said, but my money, you know, I want you to put all of my money in the coffin when I'm buried or cremated or whatever he was going to do. And she was telling her friend about this, and a couple of weeks later, her friend said, well, did you do it? She said, yeah, I did. I wrote him a check. You see, we might think we've got plenty of stuff to pass on to our children. Like, important things like life experiences, our knowledge, our wisdom, our guidance. And all encased in our human love for them. These gifts are so much more than wealth or position or property. But even better still is the most important and precious gift that they can inherit from us. And that's our knowledge of the love of God and the sacrifice of our Saviour. That he gave everything that he was and humiliated himself as a criminal to death on a cross. And why? Because he just wouldn't let us go. His love is too great. So whoever you are and whatever you do today, I pray that it will be a day that you will enjoy and relish the love of God. Or if you haven't known that, maybe you would dare to ask him to give it to you. And if you have children, then maybe you would ask Jesus to put his hands on them and to bless them as he did those in our word.